Hello and welcome to the Queensland Freemason podcast number 23. This is a podcast I particularly wanted to do. I've seen a bit of talk on the internet about this one, and today we're looking at how Freemasonry will look in 10 years' time. And personally, I think that's a challenging question. I'm sitting here today with Graham Schultz. My name is Luke Heelan, and would you like to introduce yourself, Graham?
Thanks very much, Luke. I'm Graham Schultz. I'm the Deputy Grand Secretary of the United Grand Lodge of Queensland out of Brisbane, Australia, and really Freemasonry hasn't changed much in the last 10 years.
No, it hasn't, but I bet you it'll change a lot in the next 10 years. One of the reasons why I wanted to talk about this, I mentioned in one of the earlier podcasts, I believe number 20 or 21, when we had our open house day, I was approached by a lady who asked me a very interesting question. The question was, my grandfather went to lodge 50 years ago. How would he, if he was to be resurrected, so to speak, and return to a lodge, what would he find different about it? And I thought that was a really good question, Graham.
Yeah. Well, you'd have some blokes in there with their iPhones checking into Facebook and saying, here I am at lodge, like we both do.
No, I don't do that, have seen people doing that. And I don't do that because that's too much like work for me, because as a web developer, I think that's par for the course. But I kind of think it's a very interesting question. My answer to this lady was, a lovely lady went like this, and basically I said to her that in terms of our organisation, from a functional point of view and from an organisational point of view, we are probably a little bit different to what we were 50 years ago. So we now have committees that do things that probably didn't exist before. So we didn't have a magazine 50 years ago, as far as I'm aware, and we didn't have a membership and marketing committee, and we didn't have boards of benevolence that met in the same way that they do now. Whilst they may have had meetings to talk about these topics, as far as I'm aware, the structure of the organisation is a little different, but not too much.
I can think of, you know, one thing for when I joined 30 years ago, every piece of communication that you had from your lodge was by post.
Wow, that'd be expensive.
With a stamp on it. It really was.
And
it,
slow.
It was. Yeah, there was no internet, so.
Well, I guess that's the case. And, well, the second part of my answer was a bit different to what she expected. And that was, the meetings are largely the same in terms of how we conduct the actual meeting side of what we do. And the meeting is when you visit a lodge, the things that we do in that lodge would be, in my opinion, largely the same as they were 50, 100 or 200 years ago. The circumstances surrounding the lodge even would be quite similar, barring electricity and lights. There would have been some minor differences, but I think they'd be pretty minor. I don't necessarily think it would be like that in another 10 years' time. I would have thought that if you turned up to lodge in the 80s and you had a mobile phone with you that was the size of your lodge case, because it would have been, they would have not just asked you to leave it outside, they would have insisted that you left it outside. And I think that nowadays that sort of stuff has changed. And one of the questions I have is, what will lodges look like in 10 years' time? And I am a person who's a bit of a nerd. I kind of see myself as not just a futurist, but somebody that does things because I like to build and develop technology. And one of those things that I think may impact on lodges is basically augmented reality devices. And if people haven't heard of that, picture a pair of glasses, reading glasses, or whatever it may be. The best example you can look at with this would be Google Glasses. And these glasses will not just be for reading, they will present to you as a person information that at your beck and call. This is an airy fairy and Star Trek like. It's already there, $1,500 if you're a software developer. Google, if you know the right person, will send you one of these. I don't yet have one of these, and if you are one of those people listening, you can contact me. But besides that point, these glasses won't just display information to the person on the other side of the glasses. It will present a virtual screen. It'll also record their surroundings, be able to interact with objects. So if the person was to look at a particular symbol and perhaps said, what does that mean? It could bring up some references about it or talk about the symbology. And a lot of what we do in Masonry should be taught from one Mason to another, and I kind of feel that that might be one of the first issues that people bring up. If I'm wearing a set of augmented reality glasses, different to virtual reality, this is taking your real reality and adding digital information and overlays to what you see. So a bit like when you have a GPS, it brings up street names and information as you're driving through. These glasses will do that for you in real life.
Could you see someone, say, in Western Queensland who's a shut-in, a Mason who hasn't been to lodge and can't get to lodge, wearing Google glasses and watching, say, a live stream of their grand proclamation or something
quite,
like that?
Quite possibly. I think that's probably more virtual reality in that sense. So they would probably have a virtual headset. The augmented reality functionality I'm talking about, Graham, is more just adding information, like having a mobile phone screen hovering up to the right-hand side of you with all the information you want and seeing. And for me, as a poor ritualist, as I mentioned in the last podcast, might actually also raise some ethical issues. Would it be right for me to be reading my lines in the play, so to speak, and nobody else in the room really know about it? Because they wouldn't see it, they wouldn't know what I'm doing, and if I set it up to do that, I possibly could. And this is an interesting question.
I think that technology is probably not far away.
It's here now, pretty much.
Yeah, so. having a chip inside your head at birth. To be able to overcome things that you might have trouble with, learning ritual or whatever, you know.
Graham, you might start a new conspiracy theory there. I've heard of some interesting stuff before, but the Masons and chips probably shouldn't be talked about together. Actually, me denying that's probably even worse. So yeah, we're going to chip everybody.
Yeah.
The reality is that there's going to be some questions that we haven't faced as a community before about the reality of what some of this technology will mean for us as a lodge, and whether or not that we all feel it's appropriate that people do this. I literally have seen plenty of people in lodge on their iPad or on their iPhone, like Graham said earlier, talking on Facebook or telling people they're here on Facebook. I don't know where you sit with that. How do you feel about that, Graham?
I'm fine with that, because you can, you can advertise to people that you're at a lodge meeting and they know where you are. It's good from my perspective that I'm happy to be out there and I'm happy to be telling people where I am. You know, you were talking before about the lighting. In lodges, 100 years ago, it was all candelabras.
Yeah, absolutely.
That sort of stuff. And music now is, we traditionally have an organ.
Yep.
But if you don't have an organist, you can have an iPad with a file, an organ file, and you can just sit there and press a button on your iPad.
That's pretty much what's going to happen. For example, we've already done lectures in the same format, and I'd imagine next year people will be able to stand there in their lodge. If nobody feels comfortable giving a lecture, they'll be able to hear my lovely voice giving them a lecture on the topic.
Or you can Skype in and do it if you're at home.
Absolutely. We as a jurisdiction are exploring and looking at different options, but we're not the only ones. I see that in the game Second Life, which is some sort of virtual reality game, there are lodges there where people have established that you are a real Mason, but in this virtual Second Life situation, you are joining a virtual lodge. There's the Virtual Lodge of Instruction DVDs that are out there, giving members instructions on how to conduct themselves within the lodge in terms of how the format of it works. These sorts of things are happening. Even virtual lodges, there are some, technical issues about them, and there are also some social and ethical issues from a lodge point of view, but these are questions people are going to have to ask. And for example, in 10 years' time, we talk about there are lots of other orders in Freemasonry. If there are not as many members in those orders, will they be happy to have us in their lodge virtually participating in what they do? Perhaps not, because they may not be able to draw enough single members in a geographical region to bring together enough people of that particular interest in order to do that. And I think they're going to be some of the first orders and lodges that have the questions about that sort of stuff.
One thing I can see is, and I enjoy learning ritual and I like doing it, but if you've got we've got an electronic ritual now almost ready to roll out. How much of a step is it from taking that to putting it on your Google Glasses and just reading your ritual?
I'm pretty sure I'll be the first one in this jurisdiction that does. And I'll also be the first one that gets yelled at for doing it, but that's okay. And it is almost like the question if you can have an auto cue. Like if you have an auto cue, and that's probably a better way to think of it, these virtual reality, augmented reality sets are going to be pretty much like an auto cue, but with rich information on it. The other thing it would allow you to do too is to document and minute the meeting. So perhaps if a person like the secretary, for example, was sitting there with their Google Glasses on, and sorry to pick on Google, I'm sure there'll be Apple Glasses, Microsoft Glasses, Sony Glasses and the like, but the Google ones are the ones that people are talking about. Now, would it be right for the secretary not to have to take the minutes and let his glasses take the minutes?
Well, that would be fantastic.
I know a lot of secretaries that will go out and buy one.
I'd love that. But
that's reality. Whether people know it or not, the level of advancement with things like voice to text is now quite significant. With things like Siri, for example, it's not 100% accurate, but if we could record the meeting and perhaps send it cues as the meeting's going through, the minutes could be taken for us. The other thing about that, it would also mean that every single person, if you had these glasses, could pull up the minutes and check them themselves. So if there was some sort of issue going on about was this said or was that said, we could get a recording of the lodge coming back. And that too would raise questions about whether or not that would be ethical. And I think there's going to have to be some questions answered at higher levels within Masonry about what we're going to do with these sorts of things.
I'd miss the human interaction if we were all sitting at home and just had our glasses on.
Yeah, no.
And having a lodge meeting.
I'm not for that.
No, I'd rather be out and in a lodge room and meeting people and shaking hands and sitting down and having a chat and having a festive board afterwards and having some human interaction.
And almost the point that you bring up there, Graham, is the most important point. I've never attended a lodge in Second Life, and I've played it a handful of times, and I still don't feel compelled to go along to one because, for me, that's not how I would like to interact in Freemasonry. And it almost might become a selling point that this is still an organisation where we have real meetings in real life and we're doing things that we've always done. And that in itself might become a feature and a benefit that we're being able to tell people, and in itself might become an interesting
and
issue.
It's got a very retro feel to it now, hasn't it?
Absolutely.
Freemasonry, because it's done the same as it was done 100 years ago or 200 or 300 or 1,000 years ago.
So I guess the point at which we're making is that in the last podcast we talked about what it is to be a successful lodge. This podcast we're focusing on 10 years into the future, what will implications will be around for us to think about and what we might need to start doing now in order to cope with those changes, because these changes will happen fast. In my idea, in about 3 to 5 years, you'll start seeing people wearing these on an everyday basis, and within 5 to 10 years, Masons will be turning up to meetings expecting that they can wear their glasses into the meeting. So,
yeah.
Like the mobile phone issue, before we have the phones, we should be considering what that actually means to us now and what implications that might have down the future. Because whilst people say that that's 10 years away, don't need to worry about it, the reality is a lot of our members have been in this organisation for many, many more times than 10 years.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly true.
So it's something to think about, everybody. If you have some thoughts or feelings on this topic, you can let us know via the podcast page and give us some feedback. But I think it's an interesting insight into what people might think of the future of Freemasonry. So until next week, or till next month, stay on the level.